the Sharon Boland Show. I'm so glad you're joining me today. I'd like to take some time to share with you some of the mysteries of Christmas. Since I was young, my father would share the Christmas story every year, and he really instilled in me some of the mysteries of the birth of Jesus. And I find that as I listened for the first time when he shared that, it was so interesting. And I want to present this to you because I feel it's something we can all contemplate and think about. So let's begin. First, you want to look at the fact that the God of glory, Jesus himself, left heaven and was transformed into a seed, placed in the womb of a young woman, and was in that dark womb for 9 months. And the God who created man is now going to become man. And it's amazing and fascinating to think about him in the womb of one of his creation. And when he was born, he should have been born a king, as far as in a palace, but he was born in a lowly stable. Why wasn't he in a palace, or why wasn't he even born in the inn that Mary and Joseph had come to on their journey's end? For certainly, if the innkeeper knew who was being born that night, he would have made room in the inn, but he didn't. He was too busy making profits. But it's interesting to note that if you look at the history of that particular inn, that land originally belonged to David. When David fled for his life from his rebellious son Absalom, there was a man, an elderly man named Barzillai, who hid David and his men and protected them. When David was restored to the throne, to the palace, after Absalom's death, he wanted to bless Barzillai. So he said, I'm going to bless you. I want to just give you something to thank you for feeding my men and myself and for protecting us during this time. And Barzillai said, listen, I'm an old man. I'm wealthy. There's nothing I really need. If you want to give a blessing to someone in my family, give it to my son, Himham. That's a very interesting name. And so what David did is he allotted a piece of land for Himham. Himham erected an inn because David told, of course, Himham about the prophecy that the Messiah would be born. And so Himham erects this inn. Well, think about it, generation after generation after generation, it was told the Messiah was going to be born. The Messiah was going to be born. And he was going to be born in Bethlehem. So that inn was really erected to be there for when Jesus was born. And the news was passed down from generation to generation. But when this particular seed line of Himham was the owner of the inn, he forgot about the prophecy. And he was so busy with all of the money he was making and all the patrons that were coming to his inn, he forgot. And on that one night, the prophecy was fulfilled. And Mary and Joseph came to that inn, but they were full. No room. And the only place that she could give birth to was a stable. I mean, how touching is that? The moment to think that it was in a stable that our Lord was born, among cattle, not in a palace, not even in an inn. And it's interesting to note that as he was born, the scripture says he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. What exactly are swaddling clothes? Well, I know from experience, because I have one daughter, when she was born, we had to swaddle her and keep her warm in that blanket. Well, swaddling clothes, the ones that Jesus were wrapped in, those cloths were made of linen. Linen comes from flax. And if you take linen and you magnify the fabric linen, you'll see tiny crosses, thousands and thousands of tiny crosses. So right there we see he was born to die. Amazing. He's wrapped in his own logo, because the logo of God's love is the cross. It points four directions: east, west, north, and south. And here is Jesus, fresh out of the womb, wrapped in linen, the priestly garment. But also, again, if you were to look at linen under a microscope, tiny crosses is what it's made up of. It's a fascinating thing to think about. Now, who were the first to get the news that Jesus was born? Well, it wasn't anyone in a palace. It wasn't the media of the day. The first to hear the news were the shepherds. The shepherds were not just any ordinary shepherds. These shepherds were raising temple sheep. So they were raising animals for temple sacrifice. They were temple shepherds. And God so ordained that the angels would come and bring these shepherds the good news. Why was that so important? And why is that so pivotal to the story? Because here they are, temple shepherds raising lambs for sacrifice, and the Lamb of God was being born that night. Because once the Lamb of God, the fulfillment of the sacrifice came, there would be no more need for temple sacrifice, because he is the fulfillment of it. Blessed be his name. Isn't that awesome? You know, this story really has no end. It's the beauty and the wonder of the Christ of Christmas. And though we're not celebrating his birth on the right calendar, because he was actually born in the feast season of the fall, probably late September to early October. But in America and around the world, we celebrate it in the month of December. But what we have to look at is this beauty of the miracle of his birth, that God would take on a human body and come to mankind. Why did he have to do that? Because everyone born of the first man, Adam, is born into sin. So we have to have someone that has no sin in their bloodline to cure the sickness of sin. And since we're all polluted with sin in our blood, Jesus had to come sinless to redeem us. You know, it is a known fact that the baby carries the bloodline of the father. If Jesus were to carry the bloodline of the mother, he would have tainted blood, because Mary had sin. She's born out of the Adamic race. But he was impregnated, she was impregnated, may I say, by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, coming into that womb, came by the aid of the Spirit through the bloodline of the Father. Isn't that awesome? So here we see all three in operation: the Father, the bloodline of the Father, the Son in the womb, and she is quickened by the Holy Spirit to bring forth a child without the aid of a man. And nothing like that has ever happened or will ever happen. It's the Immaculate Conception once and for all. It was a one-time act, because Jesus would fulfill the role of that temple lamb and become the sacrifice for all humanity. It is so beautiful. You think about this little baby laying in a manger. You know, I envision that all the time when I look at babies. I think about Jesus laying in a manger in that cool night and being a helpless babe and depending upon Mary and Joseph to take care of him. He had to grow into who he was. He's God and he's man in one, but yet he was a helpless babe. The God who needs no help was helpless and depended on man to take care of him. those tiny little hands, when you look at a child and they're just born, that baby is so precious and so innocent because that baby just came from heaven. And you look at Jesus in that manger, those tiny little beautiful hands would one day be pierced with nails. Those tiny feet would one day be pierced with nails. That beautiful little head that Mary must have kissed over and over and over again would wear a crown of thorns because he was going to pay for the mind. Sin begins with the mind. It begins in the mind. It begins with a thought. And so he had to wear the crown of thorns for our thoughts so he could change our thought life. But an innocent little baby would be born to change the world forever. It's the mystery of the birth. Also, darkness was turned to light at his birth. Think about it. It's a dark night. The shepherds are out there on the field. Here come the angels. Glory to God in the highest. The glory shone around them. Darkness was turned to light at his birth. But at his death, light was turned to darkness. Remember, it was daylight. But there were 3 hours of darkness at his death. Just amazing things to ponder. No one ever was born like him, and no one ever died like him, and no one ever lived like him. But it's the wonder of the season. And as we're celebrating the birth of Jesus, I want to encourage you, take the time to read the Christmas story. Take the time to read the account in the Gospels and look at what is placed there, especially the Gospel of Luke, who happens to be a Gentile, but he gives us much details. I want you to take the time and go through it with your loved ones, your children, your family, your friends. Ponder what happened on an ordinary night that became a holy night. A night of darkness that turned into a night of light. A baby that was born in a stable, but was the king of the entire world. It's absolutely fascinating that Jesus would come because of love. You know, Christmas is about love. People are in a better mood during the holiday season. People give more love in the holiday season. Why is that? Because there's a spirit that you catch because we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave. Note, John 3:16 doesn't say God just loved the world. He so loved, so emphasizes his love. And all we have to do is receive his love. No matter what you're facing, what you're going through, you can get alone and meditate on this story. Think about and ponder, and God will show you even more. I've just given you a little bit today, but I want to just provoke you to go to the scriptures and study for yourself. And think about this love gift that was given to all mankind, that we who have a nature to hate would be transformed into a nature of love, because God so loved the world that he had to share his son. You know, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. So God gave because of his love. And what a beautiful season it is to reflect on the Christmas story. And I want you to take the time to do so. I'm Sharon Boland. Thanks for joining me for today's podcast. My email address, contact@SharonBoland.com. And of course, our website, SharonBoland.com. Be sure to follow me on Facebook and Instagram. And also get involved with our ministry. I do many lives, videos on Facebook and YouTube, and many messages. And I want you to stay with me through the holiday season and into 2022 as I do my best to bring you hope and encouragement. Also, I'll begin a series in January that I do every year. It's 21 days of fasting and prayer, and I'm excited about it. I will be going through every day a teaching. Yes, 21 consecutive teachings, and it's going to transform your life. I've been doing this for many, many years, and everyone that goes through the first part of the year in fasting and prayer with me always sets the pace for the year, and God always gives you a tremendous blessing. So I want you to join me for that. All the information is on my website. The Lord bless you. We'll see you again.